Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the House Committee on Energy, Environment, and Water. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for listening at home. And I'd like to first of all announce that we will not be hearing House Bill 2735. And I'd like to also announce those bills that we are planning to move over to Thursday. So get your programs out. House Bill 2006, House Bill 2196, House Bill 3342, House Bill 3623, H.J.R. 29, House Bill 2873, House Bill 3165, House Bill 3145, House Bill 2522, House Bill 3595, and lastly, House Bill 3516 will be carried over. All of those bills that I read will be carried over till Thursday. And if you're here for those, then you probably have a nice walk in front of you in the sunshine. There are a number of other bills that have question marks, and I'll just have to keep you updated as we go. We've got paperwork coming in even as we speak.
I missed half of them because you read a bit.
So to get started, I would like to open a work session on House Bill 2009, and I think I just would like to entertain a motion on that.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2009. I'm going to actually ask for a script on this. This is going to Ways and Means, and I just want to make sure that I get the motion correct.
I asked for a teleprompter, but it's not here.
Which amendment?
You're right. It's no amendments. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2009 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Chair Cannon has moved House Bill 2009 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Vice Chair Krieger.
Long discussion on this bill for, what, a month? I probably will not support the bill on the floor, but moving it into the Ways and Means process and having a longer look probably would be valuable.
Vice Chair Krieger, we value your input on this bill. We appreciate that comment. Are there any other comments? Seeing none, Sue, would you call the roll?
Representative Bailey?
Aye.
Representative Benz?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Cannon?
Aye.
Co-Chair Gillen?
Aye. Motion carries, and House Bill 2009 will be on its way to Ways and Means, and I would like to close the work session on House Bill 2009. And I would like to go back for just a moment on some business, and Representative Bailey, you're going to have to forgive me because I may have given you the wrong information, but we still want to have you say a word and others if they're interested. What we're going to have to do here is I'm going to briefly open a work session without intention to move on House Bill 2900. And after I do that, we're going to have a few comments, and I want to assure everyone that this issue is large, but this issue is important, and that it is our intention, and by that I mean the co-chair and myself and other members, to have a more full discussion after we've hit a couple of deadlines in May or June on this subject. So with that, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2900. And I'm going to call on Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I appreciate you opening this bill briefly and appreciate the leadership that you and Representative Cannon have shown on advancing this concept. Colleagues, you have before you that will be distributed to you a letter from Governor Kitzhaber regarding this issue that I would like to introduce into the record on House Bill 2900. I believe that's been given to the committee. And I believe the intention here is to continue the discussion around how this bill, which would create a governor's energy office and restructure the Oregon Department of Energy, how that relates to the concepts of the 10-year energy plan that have been put forward, and how it relates to how we manage our energy future in a way that coordinates the resources that we have and results in a more cost-effective system for ratepayers and one that moves us more quickly towards energy independence and a clean energy future. And I appreciate the co-chair's willingness to do that and look forward to the further discussion in this committee.
Thank you, Representative.
Are there other comments?
Right back at you, Representative. We appreciate your work on it and your commitment to it, and I look forward to the discussion not only in May or June, but also what task force or what assignments may come out of that, because I think it's very important. I appreciated the governor's engaging with us and his commitment to the issue as well. It's huge, and it's very important. Probably a little bit too big for what we had on our agenda this time, but we are not going to neglect this. So I thank you for your input and thank the co-chair for his help as well. With that, I'm going to go ahead.
It is our intention, I believe, to hold a informational session on this topic in May or June as committee time becomes available. So stay tuned. We'll have additional conversation.
Thank you. And with that, I will close the work session on House Bill 2009.
No, 2900.
2900.
And as I said, don't correct me in public. I will close the House, the work session on 2900. I need all the help I can get, actually. Thank you.
Those nines are getting you.
Yeah, I know. All right, colleagues, we're going to keep moving.
Which is next?
And I would like to open a work session on House Bill 3451. I don't think we need further discussion. Would anybody like to have the summary on this one, or are we all plugged in? Liz, would you just give us the quick summary so we know which one this is, since we do it all of us?
Of course, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, I kind of sprang it under there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, House Bill 3451 would establish a task force on the McKenzie River subbasin, would also establish a McKenzie River subbasin fund. The task force would focus on strategies in the Upper Willamette River Conservation and Recovery Plan for Chinook, Salmon, and Steelhead. There is a Dash 1 amendment before the committee, and that Dash 1 amendment, that Dash 1 amendment has a fiscal impact statement, which is in the committee packet, and no revenue impact.
So, Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3451.
Thank you. Chair Cannon moves the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3451. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Is there any objection to adopting the amendment? Seeing none, the amendments are, Dash 1 amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3451 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Chair Cannon has moved House Bill 3451 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, I'll ask Sue to call the roll.
Representative Bailey?
Aye.
Representative Benz?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Boone?
Excused.
Co-Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Cannon?
Aye.
Co-Chair Gill?
Aye. The motion carries. And House Bill 3451 is on its way to Ways and Means.
As amended.
And I will now close the work session on House Bill 3451 and 3121. I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 3121 And if you do a quick summary, but especially, obviously, the Dash 1 amendments are critical to this bill.
The House Bill 3121, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, would eliminate the requirement that a person operating a manually propelled boat obtain an aquatic invasive species prevention permit. The Dash 1 amendments would specify that the fine to be imposed for is $30 for failing to obtain the permit where the boat is manually propelled, and $50 for motor boats. There is a minimal fiscal impact on the Dash 1 amendments, and there is no revenue impact on the Dash 1 amendments.
Thank you, Liz. Mr. Co-Chair, we are, I think, ready for a motion, but I just wanted to quickly say that I think we're both satisfied with the work that our colleague, Representative Kenemer, did, especially with the Marine Board, in amending this bill to something that I think is highly supportable.
I agree. Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3121.
Chair Cannon has moved House Bill, the amendments, Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3121. Is there any discussion? Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I appreciate the work that our colleagues have put into this bill and that the Marine Board has put into this bill. I still have concerns that it's a little early to be modifying a program that's relatively new, and we haven't had a chance to see the entire impact on the community yet. So I'm going to be a no vote in committee. I reserve the right to change my vote and vote for it on the floor.
Noted. I appreciate your caution. I appreciate your comment. Any other comments on this amendment?
Actually, I'll save it for the bill.
Okay. Seeing no other comments, I'll ask Sue to call the roll on the Dash 1s.
Dash 1's aye.
Mm-hmm. On the Dash
1? On Dash 1, aye. Great.
Representative Benz?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Boone?
Excused.
Co-Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Cannon?
Aye.
Co-Chair Gillick?
Aye. So the Dash 1 amendments are adopted.
And now, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3121 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Chair Cannon has moved House Bill 3121 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And Mr. Chair, I would just thank Representative Kenemer for his work in modifying this bill. I thought that it was dead. I think we both did, given the level of opposition and concerns that I think we both shared about the bill. Just as Representative Kenemer sort of came back to life, so did the bill. And it was really, I think he did a nice job of identifying the problem in the program, and I agree with Representative Bailey, we're in very early days yet, but I think it seemed pretty clear to me that the fees that Marine Board was allowed to apply under existing statute were out of proportion to the crime of not carrying a $5 permit for the for non-motorized boats, so I appreciate the work you did on the bill.
Well said. Other comments? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bailey?
No.
Representative Benz?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Boone?
Excuse.
Co-Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Cannon?
Aye.
Co-Chair Gillick?
Aye. So the motion carries, and House Bill 3121 is on its way to the floor, and without any other comments, I think we all want Representative Kenemer to carry the bill. Is that what you're looking at me for, Vice Chair?
No, the consent calendar.
I think Representative Kenemer would probably appreciate it. Yeah, we'll keep him brief. So with that, I will close the work session on House Bill 3121. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And can somebody check on my friend Debbie Boone?
This must. The sound of the crowd.
I just wanted to check on Representative Boone, make sure that her canoe is still in the water.
Should we stand at ease?
Yeah, let's stand at ease just for a moment. I'll go find her. Session. On House Bill 3325, and Liz, I think we really do need a little refresher on this. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3325, as introduced, would require that fines in certain environmental cases be in the form of a compensatory fine. There is a -2 amendment before the committee that would expand the authority of the Department of Environmental Quality to provide parties with a release from liability for existing spills or releases of oil, and also for prior entry of oil into the waters of the state. These releases may be accomplished by administrative consent order or judicial consent judgment. There is a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact on the -2 amendments.
Thank you, Liz. Co-chair Cannon.
Mr. Chair, I move the -2 amendments to House Bill 3325.
Chair Cannon moves the -2 amendments to House Bill 3325. Is there any discussion?
I would just point out that this is the brownfields issue that Representative Frederick has worked so closely with DEQ and the Port of Portland on. I think we have a bill that works well for regulated entities, for prospective purchasers, and for our environment. And we heard great testimony and support at an earlier committee meeting. I think we're ready to go.
Well said, and I agree. Representative Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to note for the record the potential conflict. I have an LLC that has an interest in some property that may enjoy one of these challenges or may not, as the case may be, but whether or not that means I have a conflict, I do not know, so I'll note it only as a potential one.
I don't know that I've ever received a potential conflict in committee before, but yeah. Your incredible honesty is astounding, and I will note that for whatever record I'm supposed to note it for, and you may have to do that again on the floor.
I may, and if I may, address the bill.
Please.
Mr. Chair. I think I mentioned in a previous meeting how much I appreciated the work that's been done on this situation, and I mentioned this for a number of my clients out across eastern Oregon who find themselves in situations of this nature, and I just can't say how much I appreciate the work that went into this bill and the hope that it will in some way help those who find themselves in this situation. And more to the point, help property that's being held out of productive use find its way back into it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Benz. Other comments? Then I'm going to ask Sue to call the roll.
Representative Bailey.
Aye.
Representative Benz.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Cannon.
Aye.
Co-Chair Gilling.
Aye. So the -2 amendments to House Bill 3325 are adopted.
And Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3325 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Chair Cannon moves House Bill 3325 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion on the bill as amended? I think your comments buttoned it up. And so with that, I'll ask Sue to call the roll again.
Representative Bailey?
Aye.
Representative Benz?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Boone?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Cannon?
Aye.
Co-Chair Judd?
Aye. House Bill 3325 and the motion therein as amended passes. And the bill is on its way to the floor. And do you have a recommendation on carrier, Mr. Co-Chair?
I would, Representative Frederick.
That's what I thought you were going to say. With Representative Frederick's assent, he will be the carrier. And so I will close the work session on House Bill 3325. And Sue will stand at ease just for a moment. Committee back to order. Colleagues, I'd like to move down to open a work session on House Joint Memorial. Is that right? Yes. House Joint Memorial number 17. I'm opening that work session.
Mr. Chair, I move House Joint Memorial 17 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Chair Cannon has moved House Joint Memorial 17 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Oh, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
I would like to rescind the motion because there is an amendment.
Consider it rescinded.
And I would like to make a different motion. I'd like to move the dash 3 amendments to House Joint Memorial 17.
Chair Cannon has an additional or a new motion to adopt the dash 3s. The House Joint Memorial 17.
And Mr. Chair, I believe the committee testimony focused on the dash 1 amendments. The dash 3 amendments make hardly any change. We did research the question of how many, sort of what the sea lion take of salmon is each year, and we modified a number. We in the dash 3s, write that the take is conservatively estimated to be more than 25,000 salmon each year. And I think otherwise the dash 3s are substantively identical to the dash 1s.
Representative Krieger?
Clarity, the $25,000 is in the Columbia.
Representative Krieger, that is my understanding, and it is an extrapolation. I think we have better, my understanding is we have better data on what's happening right at Bonneville Dam, and we know that's, I don't know, 6,000 sort of sticks in my finger, and then we worked with the experts to try to figure out, well, what does that mean in that entire stretch of the lower Columbia to the Bonneville Dam, and that's where they pointed us towards the $25,000.
Mr. Chairs, I can support, you know, this is a memorial, but in reality, I think it's going to vary from year to year because the water flows. And as the number of sea lions changes, food sources in the ocean change, predation changes.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Chair, can I respond to that? I completely agree. I have no doubt that Representative Krieger, who knows far more about the subject than I do, is correct. And I think that's part of the reason why the memorial indicates a very conservative estimate, and you know, perhaps we could have included the fluctuation point as well. I agree.
You're not going to tell them about the number of sea lions that I've killed?
I was hoping you would put that on the record, Representative Krieger.
I will. You could not put them in this room. They wouldn't fit.
Vice Chair Krieger, I remind you this is being recorded.
That's good. Where I come from, that's an acceptable thing.
All right. From the expert, I appreciate that input. Any other comments on this? I guess we're talking about the amendment.
-3.
Seeing none, is there any objection to the -3s? Then the -3s are adopted.
And Mr. Chair, I move House Joint Memorial 17 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Chair Cannon has moved House Joint Memorial 17 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Again, any discussion? Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. It's my understanding from the testimony we had earlier and from subsequent discussions with the department that for this location on the Columbia, that there is not other methods that have been as effective, and that these animals are not part of the breeding population for California sea lions. And with that understanding, I'm prepared to support the resolution or the memorial to the floor.
Further discussion? Seeing none, thank you for that, Representative, and I'll ask Sue to call the roll.
Representative Bailey?
Aye.
Representative Benz?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Wick?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Boone?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Cannon?
Aye.
Co-Chair
Gilley? Aye. The motion passes, and House Joint Memorial 17 is on the way to the floor as amended, and we talk a little bit about the carrier of this memorial.
I think Representative Krieger should carry it. Then he can expound again.
The memorial, I'll remind my co-chair, the memorial is sponsored by Representatives Hunt and Kenemer. And
that's a great reminder.
Perhaps it would
absolutely
please them to co-carry the memorial.
Co-carry.
Then we'll ask those gentlemen to co-carry, and hopefully they will accept. So that's those are the carriers, and that's the end of that bill. So I will close the public hearing on House Joint Memorial 17. And now we will move to a work session on House Bill 3597.
We have the paperwork here.
Are we still on this one?
Dash ones. We have a new
Palmer Mason, we see you out there, and we're wondering if you'd consent to coming up and talk a little bit about the dash ones. We would really
no,
but we would appreciate it nonetheless. Thank you.
All right, for the record, my name is Palmer Mason, Department of Environmental Quality.
Thank you, Palmer. I think the co-chair has a question.
Yeah, thank you. I recognize this is not a bill that the agency brought, but the department did work with the sponsors of this bill to modify it. Concerns have been raised initially about perhaps several provisions, but one included the one concern related to the inclusion of this technology, this plastics to fuel technology within the recycling hierarchy. Can you talk about how the department approached its work on this bill and how it addressed that issue and others with the sponsors?
Yeah, certainly. Co-Chair Gilliam and Co-Chair Cannon. I think we recognize that this bill is making a change in the stated policy of the hierarchy. So the hierarchy lays out the management approaches for solid waste, and they go basically from the least environmentally beneficial to the highest. And recycling is recognized as being more beneficial to the environment as a waste management strategy than others. And basically with recycling, we take a material, we take the from a product and convert that material back into another product, and it can continue that cycle almost indefinitely. It depends on the material itself. The pyrolysis that's identified in this bill is more like energy recovery, in that the material they take, the low-grade plastic that isn't otherwise economically recyclable and would go to the landfill, they take that plastic and subject it to heat and pressure and turn it into oil. So in that sense, it's environmentally beneficial in that the plastic doesn't go to the landfill, and we convert it into another product for which it can be used. And I know the companies have talked about taking that oil and ultimately maybe converting it into future products. So it would go from the raw plastic material to the oil or synthetic crude and then to yet another product. And that would be more akin to recycling. But right now, what they do is they stop midway in the process and convert the low-grade plastic into a fuel that they sell. Our approach on this bill was to recognize that this is an exception to the hierarchy, and that in the classic sense this is not recycling, but they were willing to work with us on narrowing down the scope of the bill. This included the bill sponsor and the proponents of the bill. And since we're talking about plastics that aren't otherwise recyclable because they don't have a market value, they're dirty, they're low grade, we recognize that in those, that limited set of circumstances, and that they were willing to work with us on the permitting issues subsequent to this bill, that we could live with this.
Mr. Chair, a couple of other questions. So what is the impact of Section 3 of the bill, which seems to create the exception for this process within the hierarchy? I mean, did we really change anything from the original?
Co-Chair Cannon, Co-Chair Gilliam, yes, I can answer that, but I want to be sure we're talking about the Section 3 of the Dash 1.
Yeah.
Okay. We did in a couple of different ways. The original bill was drafted to where there was a change in the hierarchy itself. So in that section of the law that outlines the hierarchy, there was a reference there. And there was also a reference in the definition of recycling. The Dash 1 amendment moves away from those, so those are no longer part of the legislative language. And then the only section where there's a cross-reference now to the hierarchy, that's the reference, the ORS 459015. That's how you tie it back to the hierarchy. And then from there, the additional changes in the language are that this narrows this down to waste plastics that cannot otherwise be economically recycled. And that I think that's okay. The key piece of this.
Okay. And then the other piece, and I don't know if you're the right person to answer it, but what is the effect of, it's page 4 of the amendment, but essentially the change that's made by adding in Section 1 this process to, I believe, the list of activities eligible for a tax credit. Am I correct?
Co-Chair Cannon, you're right. I'm not the expert, but that is my understanding. But I'm not the expert.
And I asked the question in part because we have no revenue impact, a no revenue impact statement on the bill. We don't have a subsequent to a tax credit committee, and I just want to make sure we're doing the right thing here.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Bailey.
Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is, I guess, both a question in the form of a comment, perhaps. My understanding, correct, is that this is modification of the business energy tax credit, and per the revenue impact analysis, does not modify the sunset around the business energy tax credit. Is that correct?
Representative Bailey, I cannot answer that. That'd be a question for the Department of Energy. I did not work on this bill in that capacity, only on the environmental issues.
I'm 99.9% sure, Mr. Co-Chair, that that is correct based on the revenue impact statement, and that the reason for the low revenue impact, given the modification of the business energy tax credit, is because there's a very narrow window under which projects might apply for pre-certification and then receive their final certification of the business energy tax credit. And see, we have somebody from the Department of Energy here, but it makes me wonder whether or not there will be any projects that will qualify for it, and how much work has gone into thinking through the applicability of the business energy tax credit in all of its moving parts this session to this change.
Should we have the department?
Yeah, I think that's a good suggestion, Mr. Chair. If you've got a moment, we'd love to. And we have a number of guests, many from Gresham and other places, but we still have plenty of seats if anybody wants a seat up here in front. So it's kind of nervous when you just hang around the back like that. Okay, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Lisa Panero, Oregon Department of Energy. I was listening next door, so if you would please just, in the transition, make sure I caught the question. If you'd ask it again, repeat the question.
Either one.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The question is this a modification to the business energy tax credit that brings these types of facilities under the definition of a recycling facility for the purposes of a Betsy, but does not change the sunset on the Betsy?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that is correct. It is a modification to the Betsy program. It's an additional activity or a facility, if you will, that would qualify for a Betsy, and it is not touching the sunset date for the Betsy program.
Please.
Thank you. And so it is still the case, then, that any project seeking to qualify for a Betsy under this change in statute would have to be pre-certified and receive a final certification by the existing deadlines. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bailey, that is correct. And for these particular facilities that are proposed in this bill, it is not would not apply to facilities, I believe, is the that come online prior to January 1st, 2012. Sorry, I don't have the bill, the amendments in front of me, but I think that was the date. Yeah. Right. A facility to qualify under this proposal would have to have a preliminary certification on or after January 1st, 2012, and would have to final by the sunset date, which is scheduled for June 30th of 2012. So it's a very narrow window.
Please. Are you aware of any projects that are currently looking to hit that window?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bailey, I believe so. I believe that there has been, in fact, the proponents of the bill are entertaining the notion of a particular facility that might qualify under the Betsy program if this bill would become law.
Final follow-up?
Yes.
I guess more of a comment than what it seems to me is that this bill is essentially a de facto tax credit to a very specific entity that's looking to apply in that window, as opposed to a general change in policy, because the program is sunsetting, and we do not yet know what the program might look like going forward, or whether there will be a program going forward. So it appears to me that this bill is a very targeted and specific tax credit at a single entity or set of entities. I think it might need a little bit more review.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Bailey, first, I appreciate you bringing up this line of questioning, these concerns, which I share. The Betsy is under discussion for an extension of the sunset. And I looking both at Representative Benz, who I know has been a part of that, as well as yourself on the Tax Credit Committee, how might this intersect with the proposed changes to the Betsy, including extending sunsets on at least certain parts of it?
Mr. Co-Chair, I want to speak for Representative Benz. That's hard to say given where the Betsy bill is and the discussions that have been happening in the policy committee will be subsequently happening in joint tax. I think not only are my interests in how this particular bill relates to the overall discussion around restructuring the Betsy, but also specifically to that narrow window that we're creating, and are we setting policy that's essentially creating a tax credit specifically for one or two companies, or is this a larger policy that we want to pursue? How does this impact the structure of the Betsy going forward? I'm not sure those questions have been answered.
Let me ask a different question. If this committee wanted to express its desire to include, to state as a matter of policy, we believe that this process ought to be treated like the other processes that qualify for a Betsy, what would be the way we could do that?
Mr. Co-Chair, again, speaking only for myself, I would say this bill then ought to go to the Joint Tax Credit Committee with the recommendation of this committee, as it were, and that then we would consider that policy statement in the business energy tax credit discussion that's happening there on whether or not this makes sense going forward, noting the recommendation of this committee. But sending it to the floor right away without review with the other components of the business energy tax credit seems premature.
Yeah, Representative Benz, I was hoping you'd chime in.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I join Representative Bailey, who is the, the co-chair of the Joint Committee on Tax Credits, in the concern that if it isn't sent to the Committee on Tax Credits, it could create a bit of an odd situation. I had perceived the bill as what I think it is, being brought by someone interested in obtaining access to the Betsy program. So that's no surprise. It would be, I think, consistent with what we're trying to do at the Joint Tax Credit Committee level for this committee to send it in that direction, because we're trying to look at all of them at one time, and I think that would be consistent with that approach. Maybe less, I'm sure less confusing if this committee were to approach it in that fashion.
Mr. Chair, I would join with Representative Bailey and Representative Benz in suggesting that we consider moving this bill to the Joint Tax Credit Committee. I had not plan to be in that place when the committee started, but I think that's where I am now. I'd also note, I might be missing testimony from our original hearing on this bill, but I don't recall discussion related to the specific desire to obtain the Betsy for a specific project. And if that is the primary effect of this amendment, then I wish at least that had been put on the record so we could have that discussion.
Mr. Co-Chair, I think we're stuck for the moment, and I appreciate the concerns that have been raised. I'm not sure that I agree with them, but I'm certainly not willing to disregard them or ignore them. So if we could, we'll just stand at ease for just a moment, and then we'll decide whether we're going to carry this over.
Given the questions raised and the fact that proponents are not close to us but will be on Thursday, I'm going to close the...
Don't close it yet.
No.
Carry it over first.
I'm going to carry over House Bill 3597 to Thursday, and I'll close the work session on House Bill 3597 until then.
What's your suggestion?
Yeah, it took a long list.
Can we do Thursday? Can we do the other?
We're taking off.
Can we do 3255? Yeah.
Is it ready?
I don't know.
Have we got the other pinniped?
We don't have the letter, but I can, like I said, I can usually get a signature if I just go there. You can do 3571 if you want. We have
the dash six.
The dash six.
Oh.
Should we do that?
Yeah, let me look at the fiscal statement. Yeah, you can open it.
All right, colleagues, thanks for your patience. I'd like to now open a work session on House Bill 3571. And Liz, would you just give us the overview and a little bit about the dash six that are in front of me?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3571 would assign, as introduced, would assign ownership of renewable energy certificates to the owner of the facility generating the renewable energy that resulted in the certificate. There is a dash six amendment before the committee that would specify that the owner of the qualifying facilities is the owner of the renewable energy certificate, so long as that certificate is created pursuant to ORS 469A, so long as the contract was executed pursuant to PURPA and was in effect prior to November 20th, 2005, and limits the qualifying facilities that can take advantage of this statute. There is a minimal fiscal impact on the dash six amendment and no revenue impact.
Thank you, Liz.
Yes.
Mr. Co-chair.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash six amendments dated, I'm forgetting the dates, I'm sure there's been a great deal of confusion, dated 4/19/11 be adopted.
Co-chair Cannon moves the dash six amendments dated 4/19/11 to House Bill 3571. Any discussion on those amendments? Seeing none, is there any objection to those amendments? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3571 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Chair Cannon has moved House Bill 3571 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the amended bill? Representative Bentz.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Will this be any additional trouble to me, or is this going to be okay?
Well, I guess that depends. I apologize for being outside for the moment when this came up, but perhaps this was discussed. But if I recall correctly, there were numerous concerns expressed about this bill. Have those concerns been resolved?
Would you like to take that question, Representative?
Mr. Co-Chair, my understanding, yes, that the various parties who have looked at this amendment, including the proponent and the utilities, have expressed their support for it. Condition of my support was that this be a consensus bill. This is a highly technical area of law. It's one that I think we ought to take up in the interim, if not even before the end of session, and not perhaps in the very narrow way in which this bill is addressed, but the broader question of RECs and what they are and how they're used and how they're created. I think there's some really important public policy issues embedded in there. But yes, my understanding is that this is at now a consensus product.
Thank you. Representative, just to follow up,
please.
I haven't heard otherwise, I'll support the motion. But I reserve, I may well change my vote on the floor just so the record is clear.
That's noted, and I appreciate the attention to the consensus part of this, and I wholeheartedly agree with my co-chair on that point.
You can ask.
Is there anybody that would like to come forward and briefly say a word about this before we move to a vote? Please. And when we say, for those who, I'm sure everybody is familiar with this, but just to remind you, when we say REC, we're not referring to my previous bill. We're referring to renewable energy certificates.
Co-chairs Cannon and Gilliam and members of the committee, and particularly Representative Benz, I've been involved in this from the beginning, and I represent.
Sorry, and just
oh, sorry, I'm sorry. My name is Gary Marcus.
Thanks, Gary.
My name is Gary Marcus, and Representative Brian Clem brought this at the request of primarily agricultural interests and water districts who own these projects. And up until these RECs are relatively new instruments. Even though there's been an assumption in Oregon law that the generators own them, there's nothing specific. And the Public Utility Commission ruled on a part of this, but said that these particular, there are 9 or 10 projects, that this was not in their jurisdiction, it should be in the jurisdiction of the legislature. PacifiCorp, the Public Utility Commission, and all of the interests involved have agreed to this this amendment, all of us. Scott Bolton has told me he supports it. Lee Sparling from the PUC supports it. Together, the three parties wrote a letter that is written in Representative Clem's name that explains the consensus opinion. So everyone supports this. The environmental group, Northwest Renewable Projects, also supports it. As far as we know, there is no opposition to it, and everyone supports this version of the bill. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Gary. Are there any questions? Thanks for the clarification. So, remind me where we are, Mr. Chair.
We did the amendment, and I made a motion on the bill.
Okay, we are, as you probably remember better than I, we have adopted the Dash 6, and we are in the middle of discussion on moving the amended bill, or the bill as amended. Any other discussion? Seeing none, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Bailey?
Aye.
Representative Benz?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Boone?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Cannon?
Aye.
Co-Chair Gilliam?
Aye.
Motion carries, and House Bill 3571 as amended is on its way to...
The floor.
Do you have a suggestion on a carrier?
I would move, Mr. Chair, I move that we place this on the consent calendar.
Chair Cannon moves that we place House Bill 3571 on the consent calendar. If seeing no objection, so ordered. I'd like to close the work session on House Bill 3571. And have we got anything left to do?
Just the carryover.
Carry on over.
Yes.
Okay. Colleagues, we've tried to work through this, and I've already announced the bills that we are carrying over, and I would like to add two more that we will be carrying over till Thursday. We're going to carry over House Bill 3255, and we're going to carry over House Bill 3538.
And you have bills. She missed 3451. 3121.
Representative Boone, would you like us to make it possible for you to vote on the bills?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
3538. Shall I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just ask to suspend the rules. The chair requests
permission. Yes.
The chair is requesting permission, colleagues, to suspend the rules in order for our good colleague, Representative Boone, to be able to vote on House Bill 3451 with the dash ones that were adopted, and as well as House Bill 3121 with the dash ones. Is there any objection to suspending the rules for that purpose? I don't see any. Therefore, they are suspended, and we'd like the Sue to ask the representative how she votes on those two bills.
Yes.
And Representative Boone on 31-21.
Yes.
Thank you. Representative Boone has voted and will be added to the record. Colleagues, we saved time, extra time for tonight and Thursday night. We're not going to need that time tonight. But I think we might need to go from 3 to, we have till 6?
Yes.
It's an extra hour Thursday. We've got in the area of 13 bills left. I think many of them should go quickly, as long as Representative Bailey and Vince are not here. And others...
That could be arranged.
I don't want to think about any sea lions we might represent.
And others would have like some cordwood. Normal discussion. So I appreciate your patience with me today. Representative Cannon will be chairing Thursday. And just to be sure, we are carrying over House Bill 2006 for consideration on Thursday. Lastly, those in the audience, I received a note up here suggesting that my co-chair's jokes were getting funnier, and it was signed The Crowd. And I don't see anything funny about that. And I have Oregon State Troopers working on the handwriting analysis.
Mr. Chair, I want to point out that's not what the note says. The note says Cannon's jokes are getting funnier than yours.
Mr. Kutcher, isn't there an article on the wisdom of crowds?
Yes, there is. And so, as I completely lose control of the committee, I declare the House Committee on Energy, Environment, and Water, or as I call it, EW, to be adjourned.